Today's show is sponsored by Talkspace, the online therapy company. For a fraction of the price of traditional therapy, you can pick an experienced, licensed therapist you relate to and feel comfortable with. Each and every therapist has at least a master's degree and has completed over 3,000 hours of supervised work. To match with your perfect therapist, go to Talkspace.com/boom. And to show your support for this podcast, use code BOOM to get $30 off your first month. That's BOOM. Talkspace.com/boom. B-O-O-M.
You are Locked On Lions, your daily Detroit Lions podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, it is time for another edition of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. We plate this dish on a Tuesday, October 25th, and a Wednesday, October 26th, right here. Matt Derry with you on Locked On Lions. As the Lions get ready now to try to make it four straight wins, they'll go on the road after three straight at home, and they'll face the Houston Texans coming up Sunday in Houston. Texans off a loss last night. And if you watched last night's Monday Night Football game, we're going to get into that. This is another very winnable game for the Lions coming up this Sunday. Thanks for tweeting to me at Derry Speaks, D-E-R-Y Speaks, and also using the Matt Derry fan page on Facebook as well. Check that out. Your comments are welcome. We'll read those throughout the week. Coming up on Locked On Lions, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. And if you're listening on audioboom.com, thank you. If you're listening on iTunes, thank you for subscribing. Coming up, Rob Rubick will join me, Lions analyst from Fox Sports Detroit, also one of the great guys in this market. A lot to discuss with Rob, the former Lion. We'll do that coming up. We have a new sponsor today on Locked On Lions. Our show today is brought to you by Freddy the Pizza Man, Freddy's Pizza in Melvindale. Check out all you need to know about Freddy's Pizza on his website at Freddy the Pizza Man, F-R-E-D-I, thepizzaman.com. All right, so before we get Rob Rubick on here and talk a little Lions and Texans and certainly the recap from last week, one thing that stood out to me again, and I've continued with this theme on the podcast and I will continue to discuss it and really hammer it home, is that the Lions by no means are a perfect football team. By no means is this team one that you figure is going to run the table, finish 13-3, and be some juggernaut by any stretch of the imagination. But what we're seeing throughout this three-game win streak is one constant, and that is the offense is making plays and has been tough to stop Matthew Stafford, but also the Lions aren't making a lot of mistakes. Okay, earlier in the year, the Bears game, the interception with Stafford and Golden Tate, the miscommunication, fumble problems earlier in the year before Amir Abdullah got hurt, costly penalties, the 17-penalty-filled crazy game against Tennessee, in which the Lions, you look back on it, really had no business losing a game like that to a bad Titans team. Well, if you watch last night, Houston get basically taken behind the woodshed by the Denver Broncos. You saw what Brock Osweiler did and how poorly he played in their 27-9 loss last night in Denver for a Monday Night Football. That's a Texans team that makes a lot of mistakes, a lot of errors. Osweiler fumbled three times last night. It was one of those games where, you know, the Texans should be on a three-game losing streak. Okay, there is no way, no business for the Texans to knock off the Colts a couple of weeks ago when they trailed Indianapolis by two scores. Last night, two turnovers for the Texans, four fumbles total in that game by Houston. Two of them lost, and it's not a good football team. And you take J.J. Watt out of the equation for Houston. Their right tackle went down with an injury last night. They don't have much running game as Arian Foster's gone and been gone, and they relied on guys like Alfred Blue, and Brock Osweiler's not a good quarterback. He got paid after playing behind a very good Denver offensive line and a very good Broncos offensive system, and good for him. But think about it. His cap number is $18 million. He hasn't performed. Last night, a quarterback, a passer rating of 60.1 in his return to Denver. And yes, I understand that if Darius Slay's ankle injury is going to keep him out of this game, that's going to be a huge loss for the Lions against DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best receivers in the game. But you know what? You watched the game last night. You saw the Texans put up three total points in the second half. Don't find the end zone. Three field goals. It's another game the Lions should win. The Lions should go to Houston and knock off this Texans team. And again, quarterbacking is everything. It's so important in this league. And the Lions have Stafford, and the Texans have Osweiler, who has not shown, that at least for a full season so far, that he's the guy. In Denver, there were certain small stretches, and he made a name for himself, and he became a hot name, and he walked away from the Broncos in order to take the money in Houston, but he has not performed. So I look at this game Sunday as another very winnable game for the Lions, even if Darius Slay were out. Because the Lions, if they just play smart football and Stafford does his thing and the Lions don't make mistakes, they should win. They should win that game. And I referenced this before. We got to welcome Freddie the Pizza Man, Freddie's Pizza in Melvindale, to the podcast. Folks, it's the best goulash ravioli in the country, and it's the best New York slices outside of New York, and you're getting them right here in Melvindale, Michigan. Best deal anywhere, too, for lunch. If you haven't been to Freddy's Pizza, right there, 5 minutes from the Lions compound in Allen Park on 17900 Allen Road in Melvindale. Just minutes, again, from the Lions training camp and Lions compound. Best deal anywhere is you go down to Freddy's for lunch. All right, you get great service with Freddie and his crew. They're just awesome to be around. Freddie is so friendly. And you get two New York slices, two huge, big New York slices of pizza and a drink. For under $5. $4.99. That is a lunch special like no other. All right? Open for lunch Monday through Friday starting at 10:30 a.m. And on Saturdays, you can get pizza at Freddy's starting at 11 a.m. Special through December 1st. All right? The Tuesday after a Lions win for the rest of the week through December 1st. Tuesday after a Lions win, you stop in, you buy a dinner portion of goulash and ravioli, and you get a great New York slice for just 9 cents. That nine, that's Matthew Stafford's number. All right? You can get two slices for 9 cents with that purchase. All you got to do for the special, go in there and talk to Freddie and tell him, SOL, Stafford, our leader. SOL, not same old Lions, but Stafford, our leader. And you get the special. And you just get, you'll get a smile from Freddie. And it's great food. Great food, great service. The goulash is great. His steak sandwich is awesome. Freddie's Pizza, 17900 Allen Road in Melvindale. Or check him out online at FreddieThePizzaMan.com. All right, as promised, let's talk to our guest here on Locked On Lions, right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. You see him all the time on Fox Sports Detroit doing all the post-game stuff. It's the former Lions analyst Rob Rubick giving us a couple minutes here. What's up, Rubes?
Dees, everything's great. Just got done with teacher conferences. Let's talk some football.
You're insane.
Yeah.
I love it. Hey, man, so I got to give you full credit. You know, it was always, when I was on 105.1, it was always about Maz and one of our callers, Freddie, always had the back of Matthew Stafford. Well, so did you for years, and now, boy, is he paying dividends, and it's fun to see, isn't it?
Well, it is fun, and I just wish that the good defense we had a few years ago was still around as well. This team would probably be, you know, a 6-1 football team right now. We just can't stop anyone, Dees. But we'll talk about the man. I want to get back to Stafford where you started. You know, when you keep him upright, and we said this for years, and you and I have met over the past and talked about Matthew, and I've always been a big proponent of his because of his skill set. He's got a special arm. He can make throws that very few men on this planet can make. He's got quick release. He can get the ball comes out hot. If you stand on the field prior to the game, watch him warm up, just casually playing catch with someone, that ball just comes out like you're a fastball, and there's nothing you can teach anyone. I stand with him one day, and I said, Drew, how does he do it? Drew said, I can't. He goes, because he's all hips. He says he thinks it comes from baseball. The way when you turn a double play, how it's all the hip snap and the whip. And that's how Matthew throws a ball, and he just gets so much on it. But what he's become now, and he's had the opportunity to develop since the offensive line is getting better and they're keeping him vertical and not getting on hit so many times in the game, he's becoming a better quarterback too. And when I say quarterback, he's making some of the touch passes better than he used to make. He's not throwing in the harm's way quite as much as he used to. And he starts to throw the ball away. And he's using his legs a little bit a la Aaron Rodgers. You know, when you're in trouble back there and you're seeing a lot of man coverage, which teams do now in NFL, just when it gets by, the pressure goes by, you take off. So he's really developed more aspects of his game, which has made him a better quarterback.
Rob, what's the difference so this year? And obviously he's got a younger offensive line yet, and I mentioned this on the podcast yesterday, Taylor Decker is doing a very nice job, especially the last couple of games at left tackle, and Glasgow's an upgrade over Laken Tomlinson, like, big time. In just two games we could see it, but besides that, what else is it? Is it just maturation?
It's made that change, you know, Pro Football Focus, through the course of the year, he's been rated one of the top right tackles in the NFL. And when they evaluate and they grade, now I don't put everything on that, obviously. But Riley is much more suited because he's getting a little bit of the lesser of the athletes, and he's a grinder, and he can lock and load on the rush end, and he's better suited at the right tackle. So you get better at the right tackle when you move him there than you were last year, and you're better at the left tackle. Decker's played left tackle better this year than Riley played left tackle last year. So right now your bookends there at tackle are better. You bring Glasgow in, who you say is not great. I haven't watched enough film to really make an educated judgment on that, but Swanson has played better. You know, he struggled last year. I mean, he was just – and it was more of a mental thing.
Right.
He was having a hard time with the calls and just adjusting on the move. And I know he had talked to Dominic a lot. Riola, during the year, he was calling him and getting help. He just – they threw him in the fire probably a year before he was ready. They probably should have kept Domi another year and let Swanson – well, now he's developed and he's played better. So the offensive line's better, Deez. It's better than they were. They're still not a run-pushing like a – plowing guys off the line, let's run the ball offense. They're not. They're not built like that. But they don't have to be. NFL is a pass first. I don't, all these analysts say, oh, you got to run the ball. Nah, you don't. You can throw it and then run it later. I'd have no problem coming out throwing it 15 times in a row. And then if you want to start running it, go ahead. So it's a passing game. That's why the numbers are so skewed. And Stafford is equipped to do it. He gets the ball out quick. You frustrate the pass rushers. You got guys that can yak it yards after the catch, and Golden Tate. Anquan Boldin's a short tight end who's strong on the ball. And then you got Marvin Jones, you know. I shot Marvin in the face. You see Pulp Fiction, Deez? Come on. Come on. You know the Pulp Fiction?
Yes, of course.
Shot Marvin in the face. Come on. Every time he catches, I yell that at Shep. So, yeah, they got some weapons. And I don't think he feels the pressure to have to go to Kelvin all the time. That was a bad option because he's a great player. But you have three guys now. And Golden Tate is, you know, I think he was a little upset early in the year. I think he thought he was going to be the man. And they go get Marvin. He's not the man again. He wasn't the man when Kelvin was here. Well, he's not. His genetic makeup, he's never going to be the man. The men in the NFL are your A.J. Greens, your 6'3", 6'4", guys, not your 5'10", guys that play in the slot.
But it works here. It just seems like with this offense and Jim Bob Cooter, it works.
Yes. Because Golden can play in the slot. He can run the bubble screens, the quick screens. They're running little shovel passes and some reverses, and they're giving him touches. And it seems like he's more engaged again, and that's what they needed because they need him to be a player. He was a playmaker opposite Kelvin. We saw him, right? How many times he make catches and then break tackles and go down the sideline. That's what they need from him. They need contributors. They need dudes. And they got a few dudes now on the offense. But the bad part is the two dudes they have on defense haven't played or are playing, you know, half hurt.
Maybe they need Mr. Wolf.
Bring in the Wolf. Damn, dude, why don't you tell me? It's not quite the quote, but that's what we'll leave it at. It's a great movie.
That's Rob Rubick with me, Fox Sports Detroit, former Lions tight end. That's hilarious. All right, so... Jim Bob Cooter, let's get back to him for a second. Now, certainly, let's say this team ends up 7-9, 8-8, and let's hope not. Let's hope they can continue this run. But you know what everybody's going to say. Well, you'd have to keep Jim Bob Cooter around. What's he doing with the offense that specifically you like?
Well, I think he has tailored it to Stafford's skill set. When I say that, Matthew's not a true pocket drop back guy. He's a slinger. And what they've done is you've seen that they've created more – the extension of the running game. Remember, so you don't have to run it. You can throw it 15 times. Well, it's kind of a lie because, in essence, they are running. When they throw those little quick hitches, those little quick bubbles, the little quick inside screens, jailbreak screens, whatever you want to call it, that's just an extension of getting the ball to the edge quicker than you can in the running game and getting guys like Golden Tate the ball. So I think he realized that they can't really run it between the tackles until they do a lot of that. And that has helped them tremendously utilizing Golden Tate outside, and even Marvin and Anquan. These are three guys that are pretty decent runners after the catch, and it takes a lot of pressure off. And the fact that they've lost their top three running backs and this offense is still having some success is, I think, hats off to Cooter. You got to love Cooter, don't you?
Yes.
Come on.
Well, you're in rare form. You're in rare form today.
Everyone loves him. I mean, come on. That's all. See, shirts going in the Silver Dome with Cooter on it now. I mean, come on.
The Silver Dome.
I still haven't seen a Rubik one that wasn't related to me.
I still say they should have retired 84. Come on.
Well, you know, between Herman Moore and I, we had 66 touchdowns. We both were 64.
That's right.
Herman had 62.
That's too good. Rob Rubick with me. All right, you mentioned, you made a comment earlier about the defense not having its top two guys. And look, to be honest, yesterday they kept the Lions in the game. You kind of knew that the last two possessions.
Easy, D's, easy.
They kept them in it. They got a few breaks. They got a few breaks.
You think so? You know how many possessions the Lions had in that game?
Not a lot.
They had nine. No, they had eight yesterday. They're averaging nine a game. They're 32nd in the NFL in how many times they get to touch the football a game. You know how much pressure that puts on an offense? That you know we're only going to get it. We're, maybe another team might get 12 possessions, a team that with a better defense. You're only going to get it nine times. They're averaging, they're 32nd in the league in possessions each game. And that's another thing you have to look at this offense. When Stafford goes, oh, he's going to, man. No, we don't get the ball that many times. So you have to be that much more efficient. So that defense, well, you know, they didn't give up a bunch of points, I guess. But they got to get off the field. You know, remember, there was a couple kind of, you know, weird fumbles. The one going in was going to be a touchdown. The other one was a good play by Thornton. Now, he got great penetration. He rolled the center right into the queue and made the bad handoff. But you got to get off the field. The defensive linebacker play has been not good.
Oh, it's horrible. I hate to say this because I really don't do this, but Kyle Van Noy is not an NFL player, and he has to start.
Yeah, I agree. I like the kid and the coming in, but he can't run. He just doesn't have NFL speed to play inside back or at all. You put him outside, he's a man without a position in this league. It's you know, if he'd have played 25 years ago when I played, they would have beefed him up a little bit more and put him in the middle. And he'd been like a Matt Miller. But you can't. You just can't do it. Their linebacker play is just not there. You can't cover a back out of the backfield. We can't cover a tight end. It's bad. And look at the front four. The pressure. We get non-impact sacks a lot of times. When I call non-impact sack, you know, we had one impact sack. A non-impact sack is a sack on first or second down. They lose 3 yards. Okay, well, that's not a drive killer. Impact sack is when it's third and eight and they lose seven. Now they're punting. That's the sack that they're just not getting. And if you don't get that pressure with your front four, I swear there's some games this year I could take the guy from Wayne State, Grand Valley, Central, and Eastern, put four of those guys up there, they're going to pressure as well. They're just getting no pressure. And there's no push interior. The quarterbacks can stand there. Case Keenum, look at the numbers he put up. Look at the number of Cousins.
Oh, yeah. No.
You see what Keenum did yesterday?
Nothing.
Against it, four interceptions.
That's why Kerry Hyder's probably the defensive MVP the way. He's been the one guy in the backfield.
He's a great kid, but when you're talking about Kerry Hyder is your best pass rusher.
He's been.
He's a Rob Rubick. He's a guy that should be filling in. He's mortar. He's not your bricks. He's just mortar. He's a guy that rounds off your squad. He gives you some good minutes, gives you a good play every now and then. But when he's what you're – man, we got to get Hyder's got to get another sack. We're hurting. And I don't know what you do. You're in the, you know, Bob Quinn comes in and, you know, he's playing with the hand that was dealt him for the most part, you know, and he's trying to tweak it, but it's tough. And it's not like you can just go change it during the middle of a season. It's an off season thing. So they're just going to, I think, survive defensively. Hopefully Ziggy can get healthier and become an impact rush end. And you got to get something on the inside. You got to get better push on that. You know, Nada's not playing. That's where you get your interior push. Even if you don't get sacks, he puts the pocket in the quarterback's laps. They're struggling defensively, and it's brutal. And like I said, it puts a lot of pressure on Matthew and that offense to score.
No, no question about it. Rob Rubick, Fox Sports Detroit, Lions analyst and the former Lion with me here on Locked On Lions. When you look at going into Sunday against Houston, DeAndre Hopkins, if there's no Darius Slay, that could be a long day. But
throwing it to him, though.
Yeah, that's true.
Brock, I'm the smartest man in America, Osweiler. I mean, he got paid, and he's been a stiff for the most part. He really hasn't performed very well. Now, that being said, a lot of quarterbacks have gotten healthy against the Lions defense this year. You know, Case Keenum, all of a sudden, he looked like a pro bowler, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he didn't look bad. How'd it look this weekend? How'd it look yesterday before you were watching that? Kirk Cousins, you know, Sparty had to be puffing her chest out. he looked pretty good.
Well,
use him right now.
I was just about to say, you know, God bless Brian Lewerke, but when the other team's cornerback is tying his shoes and you can't recognize that, I mean, that's not good.
Easy. Mason Blue's coming out in your D's. Come on now.
No. I love D'Antonio, but I swear, I don't know if you saw it. Did you see the fake field goal the other night?
Why? I was listening to George, so I heard it about 8-10 seconds later, and it happened. But why did...
Nice shot.
Yeah.
Be nice.
Why would you fake a field goal there? Your kicker, whatever's going to run 40 yards?
It's seriously the worst call. I've seen some bad calls. We both have, and you've probably been on teams that have made bad calls. This is right up there. I've never seen a fake field goal at the end of a half where you're making Michael Geiger run 40 yards. It made no sense.
It was Dave Rayner. We have a shot.
Oh, please. Morton Anderson. It was crazy. I couldn't believe it.
That's what I didn't understand. I thought when I heard the call on the radio that it was a bad snap and George just miscalled it.
No.
It a fake.
No.
It truly was he supposed to throw it to someone?
No, he was supposed to run off right end, and they thought they would have a wall blocked, and he went about 7 yards instead of 37.
But it wasn't like it was a very makeable field goal, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think it was like a 42, 43-yarder to end the half. You go in there up 17-14 at the half. I think they would have gone up three. It didn't make no sense.
You watch this game long enough and broadcast these, you see stuff. I see clock management, things that I could sit down and write things down for you that would just make your head spin. That you're like, these people get paid to make these decisions. Now, I'm not second-guessing Mark D'Antonio because I think what he's done in Michigan State is right up there with what anyone's done in the country.
Oh, no doubt.
And I think he's a solid coach. But, yeah, whoever made that play call, whoever signed off on it, you may want to reevaluate your thought process because that's just horrible.
Let me ask you about Jim Caldwell. Certainly under fire, has been all year, has been last year going back to the Green Bay game when everybody in the stadium and at home knew that Hail Mary was coming except for him. But what have you seen over the last couple weeks? He's got this team winning games.
Yeah, well, repetitive as his press conferences get, and we air them on Fox Sports Detroit. When you turn to Fox Sports people after the game on Fox, do turn to Fox Sports Detroit to watch the post with Matt Shepard, myself, shameless plug. He's very repetitive in the sense he's like, every game is close in this league, and he's right. It's the league of parity. It's the league of last drive. So the fact that they've won these games, these are games that they were losing before that were close. Sometimes it's luck. Sometimes it's your players making plays. You know, you get a couple fumbles, like I say in that game. The one fumble is, I still don't know why he fumbled it. I watched that replay and I'm going in so many times, and it just kind of came out. What I like about Caldwell, and someone asked me, I did an interview yesterday, they said, what is the good, the bad, and the ugly? I said, well, the good with Caldwell is I think he's a very calming influence. He's a very, very bright man. If you ever have a chance to sit down, he's very well read. And he's very unassuming in a sense that he just makes you feel like, man, I could play for this guy. Like a grandpa, almost like a grandfather sitting down and saying, yo, son, you need to make me proud. He gets it out of you. And I remember Herman Moore and I sat in one of the first production meetings with him. We both came, I said, Herman, I could play for him. Herman said, me too. So I think he has that now. That can wear thin. When losing can beat that up a little bit. But I think that's what he brings. And the fact that he had enough insight, hopefully, to give Jim Bob Cooter the reins and get, you know, and move on from where they were, I think that was a good move as a head coach. I don't think head coaches do much D's during a game. I really don't. Well, Do you have an OC and a DC?
No, but he's made the calls the last couple of weeks. He's fourth down, fourth and ones, and there's been no hesitation with him. And I think that gives the guys, especially the guys up front who aren't confident all the time, these young guys, now they're moving some bodies on fourth and one, fourth and two. That I think is important.
Yeah, I agree. But I, you know, with this whole nother, it'll be starting some play calling because I think their third down calls the last. I'm not big when you get inside the goal line and trying to run a trap, D's, because those big guys, those 300-pound guys that are lined up across from, all they're going to do is root hog and try to move you, get pressure, and bubble everything. And you're trying to pull a guard. And that guy across you is just trying to get into you and push you back, and you get knocked off your path, and then you get a cluster in the middle of the backfield and over the back to go. But that's another story. I just don't like running a trap on the goal line. I think it's all got to be just zone blocking right. Straight ahead.
With Zach Zenner, too, and God bless him, but come on.
Let's bring in the banger. You know, he's no Joik Bell now, the pride of Wayne State, but he's okay. I like him.
Joik Bell, by the way, cut by the Bears.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe he'll come home.
But you get a couple weeks and you get that veteran pay. He's still got his bank.
I'm with you. I just never.
Are you recording? I thought you and I were just still talking.
No, we're recording. Final thing. You're so right. And tell me this. Why don't more teams do this? I never get this. The whole stadium, and again, everybody on the whole sidelines knows, all right, it's third and one, and we have the jumbo package in, and you just run it up the middle. Fake it in the line and dump it to the tight end. And you're a tight end. Why don't they run that more at every level?
Well, we see that. I swear the team's run against the Lions. They kill the Lions. Like, they put the fullback in the flat yesterday. They got a touchdown. I remember they and Spielman made a nice comment, which I never knew. I always think I know more than the other guy, but you can still learn. And Spiel said you got to watch that fullback's shoulders. If he stays square, you know he's leading too. But as soon as they get on an angle, he's leaking in the flat. Sure enough. So yeah, you wonder why it's but if you get hung up these, then you're hung out. You know what I'm saying? If the tight end gets hung up, if the team that's playing is really going to jam you and try to ride you down, and you don't get out. Then that quarterback's on out to dry, because then he starts stepping out like, oh. But then I guess you just throw it away. I don't know. I think you run that play on first down, and then you can come back and run on second and third if you want to. But I always think Green Bay was always good at that, I think, with Brett Favre as long back then, and now with Aaron Rodgers, that they come on and really run that little hard play action on first down inside the five. And that's what I like. Then you can always come back and run it.
Final thing, I lied. I have one more question. Rob Rubick with me. What about parity around this league? I mean, we're sitting here today talking, all right, 4-3, in good shape, got Houston a winnable game Sunday, and you know, even bringing up playoffs for this team. And it might not be because the Lions are that great, but these other teams, I mean, the Sunday night game last night, a lot of these games in primetime, this is bad football, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, bad football, good defensive football. Those are pretty two good fronts, though. They were getting at it. They're really good up the field and not allowing much time. Here, if you're in Houston right now, you're looking at this, you're saying, we got a home game, we got the Lions coming in. You're saying, what? That's a winnable game. Right?
There are, but every team says that, except the ones that are going to New England.
Making your point for you. It is parity. I've been preaching this for years. My buddy's sitting in the room with me here, and he would vouch for it. You have two teams on the top end that are really good, usually, and you have a couple teams on the bottom, two or three that are not as good, and you got 20 that are all the same. And if you don't turn the ball over, they win. That's it. That's the NFL, D's. That's how it's been made, with the salary cap, the minimum and the max cap. It's, you know, everyone runs similar offenses. It's cookie cutter football, and it's all, and everyone's fast, everyone's strong. I bench 400, you bench 400. I run a 4-4, you run a 4-4. It's, the game has evolved into it's a quarterback league. The teams that have the great cues, your Patriots, your Packers, those are the ones that. And they kind of, Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers, they kind of surface to the top. And the ones that don't have, your Browns, sorry, and some other teams like that, they can't find a quarterback. And I'm surprised you're not playing for the Browns yet at Q. They've tried everyone else.
I have a decent arm.
And the other ones just kind of mucked away in the middle with a chance to try to fight with the big dogs on top.
I can sling it a little, but I'm 43, so.
But that doesn't matter. I've seen when they've been playing, you'd have a shot.
The Browns, yes. I think they're going 0-16, by the way.
Hey, that's our moniker. Come on. I did the post game that year with Mickey York for Fox, 0-16. You want to talk about getting on a show and just like, okay, I think I may have said this last week. Oh. You said that about 13 weeks in a row. Yeah, that was tough.
Man, oh, man. Love the Mick, though. The Mick's the man.
Yeah, he is.
All right, Rob, always great talking to you. Thanks so much for a few. Man, we went 20 minutes. I could go all day with you. You're the best.
All right. Checks in the mail, right?
No doubt. Thank you, Rob.
All right, D's. Bye-bye.
Always fun talking to Rob Rubick. Rubes, a part of the Eastern Michigan broadcast on the radio with Shep, and also a part of the Lions TV broadcast on Fox Sports Detroit. After each and every Lions game, you watch the Lions post-game show on Fox Sports Detroit. Rob does a great job, and we love talking to good old number 84, the former Lions tight end. All right, that'll do it for a Tuesday installment of Locked On Lions right here on the Locked On Podcast Network. Locked On Lions today has been brought to you by Freddy's Pizza in Melvindale, 17900 Allen Road in Melvindale, just minutes from Lions training camp. The best New York slices of pizza around. Check them out online at Freddy, F-R-E-D-I, FreddyThePizzaMan.com. We'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst.